Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
And with the General John McClain, because it is Friday, it is about 4:20, and we're at Little Woodrow's. So it is time to talk to the General, John McClain, as we do every Friday. John, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. You got part of the posse here, it looks like.
I do. I have Vince and Charlotte and Mike and Clarence.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Rick Tindall is home getting ready for his birthday party, and I think his wife, Carrie, is offering people $100 to come. If she gets it up to $250, I'll be there. And then Tony Sherrill, who's listening, he and his wife, Kathy, are driving down to see the Hooks.
Okay.
See the Astros minor leaguers at the AA level.
Okay.
John, I feel like Clarence is the newest member of the posse. Was there any hazing involved in getting him in the posse?
No. We might see if Clarence can chug that beer all in one one swell swoop, even though he's not a lineman. He looks like a quarterback.
Well, anyone could do a better job than Aaron Rodgers last night.
Oh, that's the truth. Aaron Rodgers, as he tweeted about Scotch next time, that sounds like a quarterback, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
All he was missing was his pinky being raised while he was drinking.
I think he was really careful to make sure he did not do that. Yeah. I thought Christian Yelich doing it, MVP.
It was cool.
I thought him stepping up like that was great.
Yeah.
John, do you have chugging skills?
No, I haven't chugged beer since high school.
Okay, well, you're rated 10th on Lopez's power rankings.
Is that right?
Yeah.
No, I've chugged queso, salsa, not beer.
Okay, now I would watch a salsa chugging contest with John McClain, a queso chugging contest. All right, John, we got a lot to get into. Let's start with something we've been talking about on the station a lot this week, Jadeveon Clowney. And I know you were listening, Cecil Shorts, talking to Clowney's camp, confirmed something that you've been talking about quite a bit as the offseason has rolled on, that Jadeveon Clowney will ultimately miss training camp but not miss any of the regular season.
Right. And it's like he won't be here for the mandatory minicamp, but because he didn't sign his franchise tender, he can't be fined because he's not under contract. And I see people all the time nationally talking about him being traded. I don't know when they're going to get off of that. They've got him for the next 2 years. And if they say they signed him to a multi-year deal, he get, I'm guessing, somewhere like 50, 60 million guaranteed. If they keep him at the franchise tag the next 2 years, this year it's what, 15, 9?
About 16. Next year it'd be about 21.
Would it go up that much, 120% of that?
I thought it was like 37 for the 2 years.
Okay, and see, that's nothing compared to what he would get if he signed. So they've got him for 2 years like that. So, I mean, they want to sign him. I've seen another lot of national people. Amazed at how much misinformation I hear with national people. I won't say who it is, but a guy that I listened to was previewing the Texans right now, and he's talking about what a good job Christian Covington can be counted on. And I'm like,
really?
Carol was in the car, and I said, obviously he hasn't paid any attention.
No.
But anyway, I think that they have tried to sign him, and they are just not agreed on money. Rich, I heard you say this week you'd like for Clowney to explain it. Well, I'm going to explain it. He wants more than they're offering.
Yeah. Real quick here, just along
I want to hear it from him, though, John.
Well, yeah, guy's never going to say that.
Along those lines, here's one from Cecil in which he talked about this exact topic, about linebacker money versus top-end money. Here's Cecil Shorts on that topic with respect to Clowney. Oh, okay. B-Mac's getting it.
Well, first of all, they have plays, and he is an outside linebacker. He is not a defensive lineman. If this had happened when Watt was out, he would have had more plays as a defensive lineman, but he clearly had more. He is an outside linebacker.
Okay. B-Mac, tell me when you have that cut. Just get in my ear.
But, John, did they not cut him a check to make up the difference between the two because
he did play more last year? Yeah. No, not because –
because
Watt was out. Watt's not out, so he's an outside linebacker.
Okay.
Now, he still plays, depending on what Romeo Crennel calls. Plays, you'll see him drop down at the end with his hand in the dirt. But more plays, and it's easy to calculate, watching the tape, and the management council would do that. And as an outside linebacker, he got 120% of last year's contract because that was more than the franchise tag for an outside linebacker.
Here's Cecil on Clowney talking about linebacker money.
One of the things that came up yesterday when I had a conversation was that they are trying to give him linebacker money. So with that being said, you can have a picture in your head of what the numbers are for linebackers compared to defensive ends. Right?
Sure.
So I think that's the biggest difference between the two sides right now is linebacker money and defensive end money. What does he think he should get and what do they offer?
John? There's nothing about what he thinks. It's what it is, yeah. And he played more plays at linebacker.
Well, and the sense I got, and there was follow-up to that with Cecil, where Cecil's impression was that the big-picture contracts that they're talking about with Clowney are more like linebacker money than the top-end. Like, you know, the long-term extensions.
He wants money in right up there with Donald and Mac. Yeah. And I've told y'all forever, he's not going to get it. Even these other guys that have gotten money, they're averaging 10 sacks, double figures every year, and he hasn't. Now, if he comes back this year and has a great year, then he's got a chance to get even more than he would get now.
What's your opinion on that, John? Do you think he deserves the same money? Like, DeMarcus Lawrence, for example, got 5 years, 100-and-something million, 65
and
guaranteed.
And he's a better pass rusher than Jadeveon Clowney.
But do you think he's a better player than Jadeveon Clowney?
Well, I don't watch him, so I don't know. Okay. I only watch Clowney.
Okay.
I do not watch Lawrence, haven't watched Frank Clark. Don't watch D. Ford. And Clowney is a disruptive player. He's their second-best defensive player. They have to game plan for him. He's great against the run. If it's just based on the run, then he should be one of the top paid. But unfortunately, you got to play it. You got to base it on pass rush, too.
Yeah. If you were Brian Gaine, would you make a run at Gerald McCoy?
If I were Brian Gaine and I had Brandon Dunn on the nose and DJ Reader right in, and then McCoy bringing him in. McCoy's 31. He's a 10-year veteran. Mm-hmm. The Bucs know him better than anybody. They did not even try to renegotiate his contract to reduce that $13 million base and give him signing bonus money. They just didn't do it. So there's something there that maybe they're wrong about it, but they know him better than anybody. Now, of course, his agent's spreading. It's up to $11 million.
Right,
there's all these teams interested. And so if I could get him to come in and compete for a starting job in a 3-4, which he's not played, or bring him in as a rusher in passing situations when Romeo Crennel goes to a four-man front, or based on matchups, Romeo starts off in a four-man front, yes. But I certainly wouldn't pay a lot of money. I'd give him a lot of incentive bonuses.
Yeah. I mean, he's probably a Ring of Honor guy with that franchise. He's kind of an icon.
He is.
In
he's
that
a great
town.
Leader, great guy on Hard Knocks. They had the camera on him and his family all the time. But, you know, they're talking about production right now. Yeah. 6 sacks last year that he got would look good in the middle of this defense.
I don't know if you've had a chance to talk to Rick Stroud at all down there, but Rick wrote about how, and I didn't realize this, there was a period of time, I think a good chunk of the season, where McCoy wouldn't talk to local media down there. There was something going on. I don't know all the details of, but it didn't go well.
He's been unhappy for a while when Bruce Arians came in, and I'm guessing it's because he's going to make $13 million. Nothing was guaranteed. He was worried he was going to get cut. He should have been happy he's cut. He should be on his knees thanking God that he got cut.
Yeah.
Because they're one of the worst teams in the league.
They've been in the playoffs
since
07.
One of the worst franchises in the league.
Yeah.
And now he can sign with anybody he wants. It's a matter, do you want to compete for the Super Bowl or do you want to go for the money?
You know, Rich, you say he's a Ring of Honor guy. The fact of the matter is, in the NFL, John, you know this as well as anybody, for as many great players as you've covered, most of those guys wind up ending their careers with another team. Like Andre Johnson's the only Ring of Honor member with the Texans.
Sure.
He played for two teams after he got let go from the Texans.
A lot of Hall of Famers ended their careers other places.
Yeah.
But similarly, the Texans decided that he was a reduced talent.
Yes.
And not capable of being quote-unquote Andre Johnson anymore.
Yep. And they were right.
Yeah,
they were right. They were right. And I guess your point, John, is that if Tampa Bay knows more about Gerald McCoy than anybody, they may be right, too.
On the other hand, because they're inept, they may be wrong.
That's a good point.
Yes.
That's a fair point.
New Orleans has seen him twice a year every season.
Yeah.
They need another inside presence, and he would have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. He would have a chance to stick it to the Bucks twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, New England needs an inside player. He wouldn't get the same money,
yeah,
but he'd automatically have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. And they're talking about Cleveland. Cleveland is not a legitimate Super Bowl team right now.
He's visiting there,
reportedly. He's going there because they've been very vocal about how much they want him.
Okay.
And they've got money to spend. So I'm guessing that he's going to look at playing with Myles Garrett, playing it next to him. And
Vernon and Richardson.
And Olivier Vernon and Sheldon Richardson. And all those guys may have seen their better days other than Garrett, but he'd be intrigued by that.
All right, John McClain is with us for the rest of the show. How did things go the first week on the job with the veterans there for rookie Titus Howard? We'll talk about that. We'll hear from Howard as well coming up next. You're listening to the Triple Threat. Sean Pendergast, Rich Lord, John McClain alongside on a Friday at Little Woodrow's on Bel Air Boulevard, Sports Radio 610. It is Sean and Rich alongside John McClain as we head towards the top of the hour. We'll do a top five at five. Titus Howard, his first of what we hope are many, many years of OTAs with the Houston Texans. John McClain said earlier this month that 90% chance was, John, your estimate, that Titus Howard would be starting at left tackle for this team in week one. Here's Titus Howard talking about his expectations of starting in week one.
I'm not here to just say I'm going to start. My main focus is, you know, just getting better each and every day and, you know, being the best teammate I can be to, you know, help this team out.
It sounds like he is he's absorbed O'Brien speak 101.
No doubt. John, what are your first impressions on this kid?
Well, first of all, he's got a great personality. He's funny. He's smart. He seems wise beyond his 22 years. And I know what NFL people were saying about him after the combine, after they watched that Auburn tape when he had a great game. Nobody got close to his quarterback. And then he went down to the Senior Bowl, impressed everybody. That sent everybody back to the watch more tape to see what are we missing on this guy. And I look at it, the reason I said that, I know how high they are on him. I know how much Bill O'Brien and Mike Devlin like him. I know who the competition is. You know, right tackle is going to be Shontrell Henderson or Max Sharping. And if Shontrell Henderson is healthy, he's going to have that job. That means Sharping, if he's going to start, might have to start off at guard. And I don't see him starting off with two rookie tackles. So you got Julion Davenport coming back as a returning starter. And then you got Matt Khalil, who's coming off a season in which he had a knee injury that kept him out and is being brought along slowly. Now, if Khalil develops and is healthy and can play anywhere near the way he used to, even 2 years ago, he started 17 games for the Panthers, then maybe he'll be starting. And they'll rotate him with Titus Howard like they did Dwayne Brown in 2008. If they're going to rotate him, I got to make sure he starts and they bring Khalil off the bench
right. So
I can be right. And but considering his intelligence, how hard he works, how much he wants to learn, I think, you know, they don't draft a kid in the first round to sit on the bench, especially it's not like they got established veterans and a good offensive line. You know, he's only the second first-round pick at tackle in history. Other one was Dwayne Brown in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
They never in their history, they drafted two tackles in the first round. Chester Pitts, even though at the time a lot of people thought Chester would be a better guard, and he played both, but he had to start out tackling than Dwayne. So they neglected offensive tackle. And so,
no doubt.
I've got a story on Howard for Sunday that might be on TexasSportsNation.com right now, but saying all the right things. A couple of times I ran it once where he said, I'm just here to be the best teammate I can be. And I want to say, Brian's already scared the hell out of him.
John, on Khalil, why do you think he's never been the player he was drafted to be?
Well, he was in Minnesota. He was played really well for 4 years, got a monster contract to go to Carolina, even though he got hurt his last year.
But he made one Pro Bowl his rookie year.
Well, but I don't count Pro Bowls, Rich, because I count all pro, and he was not all pro. And I'm guessing
right.
It's because that I don't know. I can't remember. If the team was bad, who the other three tackles were. Today, if you can't make a Pro Bowl, considering there's about 500 guys that go to the Pro Bowl every year, because nobody others want to. They all develop. You know, I got shampoo in my eyes. I can't go to the Pro Bowl. And so that happens a lot. But I don't know. They drafted him fourth or fifth overall. He started for four years at left tackle, and then Carolina signed him to a monster contract, even though he'd been hurt. And then he goes there, plays one year, and gets hurt again. So he's 29 years old. The odds are he's never, after missing two of the last 3 years, the odds are he's not going to be what he was when he was starting every game for the Vikings. But they don't even need that, considering where they were last year. But I think that unless Howard gets out against big-time competition and falls on his face, and even if he does at first, eventually he's too talented not to eventually start.
Yeah. For what it's worth, the year Khalil made the Pro Bowl, the Texans actually played the Vikings that year. That was the year the Vikings made the playoffs with Christian Ponder as their quarterback in 2012. Was Khalil's rookie year that
year. So, John, if you had a guess at this very, very, very early juncture, who's likely the swing tackle on this team?
Khalil's a left tackle. Chantrell Henderson's a right tackle. Julian Davenport's played both sides. One of the things they liked about Howard, he started every game at right tackle last year, every game at left tackle the year before. You know, he's a high school quarterback who moved to tight end, went to college as a tight end, was a tight end during his redshirt year, and then he was a part-time start at right tackle, part-time start at right tackle, and then left tackle. So making the move is not a big deal to him. So since he's done both, I would just – if he's starting at left tackle, Khalil, if he's healthy, if they had an injury, say it was to Henderson, Khalil could play left. He could move over to the right.
Okay.
Here's one more from Titus Howard on that exact topic, John, on playing multiple positions. They moved him and everybody around a lot at OTAs earlier this week. Here's Howard on playing multiple positions.
It's pretty fun, though. It's just like it gave me a chance to get out there on the field more. So if they got to move me to any position, I'm going to go out there and do it because that's the way, you know, I can help my team. I'm down for it.
John, if there's a 90% chance in your estimation he starts week one at left tackle, there's got to be a point at somewhere, probably early on in training camp. I don't know. At what point do you think, if he's going to be the guy, do we see him embedded at left tackle as opposed to shuffling all over the place?
Third game at, first of all, I am not in favor of shuffling rookies.
Me neither.
In his case, because he started both and his move effortlessly back and forth, I don't have an issue with it. And I said this the other day, because I'm in disagreement with Mike Meltzer and Seth Payne, and I can't remember what Paul Gallant said. They said they're in favor of it. I'm not. I think that a rookie has a hard enough time learning a system, learning the NFL. When he learns the position, then move him. Mm-hmm. Don't bring him in and put even more on him like a tackle or guard. And it is a problem because I remember Eric Winston talking about how he was not comfortable to halfway through his rookie year that he moved from the left to right tackle. And if it's hard for Eric Winston coming out of the Miami University, the U, then it would certainly be tough for some other players. And I want to see a rookie go in there, learn one spot, be really good, coaches are fired up, then move him. Unless he's not going to start, then you got to move him at different spots as a backup player. But I would think that if Howard is not in the lineup by that third game, which is the only one that matters, against the Cowboys, then they're not just all of a sudden going to put him in the starting lineup after that.
On the topic of young players developing, weigh in on something we were discussing, and that's the tight end situation. They've got two second-year guys and a rookie in the mix along with Darren Fells. Fells, who told Texans Radio, Texans All Access last week, that he considers himself a far left tackle. He knows his role, and that's to block, and feels like he could be a perfect security blanket on the left shoulder of a Titus Howard out there. How do you see the tight end room playing out, and is it possible they'll keep four tight ends on this team?
See, I'd be shocked, because then they got to cut back somewhere else. Now, if Darren Fells as the fourth tight end, you know, he's 6'7", 270. He's 32 years old. He's a veteran. If he can do things blocking that Jordan Thomas can't do, or receiving that Jordan Akins can't do, then he's going to have to make the team. But do you cut back in the offensive line? Do you cut back at running back? Do you cut back at wide receiver to keep four tight ends? How often do they play two tight ends? And Kahale Whering, it's Whering, W-H-E-R-E-I-N-G, that I found out over there. Kahale Whering is going to eventually be the guy because he is a good blocker who's going to get better because he works at it and likes it and has that nastiness they like, and he is going to be a top receiver. Kind of like a combination of Akins and Thomas, and those guys are going to be so much better in their second year. Jordan Thomas had four touchdowns. Jordan Akins averaged 13.4 yards a catch. So I'll be surprised if they keep four, Rich. Maybe injuries will tell that tale.
Yeah, that could be a factor.
They love the two Jordans, and we know they love Whering because they drafted him in third round.
If it came down to the two Jordans, which one's gone?
Well, I'd say Fells is gone. I don't think what Jordan's going to be gone under any circumstance.
Yeah, I think the only way Fells is still here and they have three is if they trade one of the Jordans. I don't think they're cutting either of them. So, John, I always feel like there's one position when they come up with a 53 that there's one extra guy. Like, there's one extra guy.
One position group one more than we thought they'd keep.
The defensive line was that position last year. They wound up keeping all seven defensive linemen that they had towards the end of camp. I feel like tight end could be that position. I've been the one who's been saying I think they're going to keep four and justify it by maybe saying these other three, you know, Whering, Akins, Thomas, they're receiving threats. So you kind of rationalize that they're sort of part of the receiving core kind of thing.
But I believe that Jordan Thomas will make – he improves so much as a blocker. He's 277 pounds. He's heavier than Darren Fells.
He is big, yeah.
And Fells was – you know, he was a free agent who didn't – you know, who doesn't figure into the compensatory formula.
Yeah.
And that's another thing we can't overlook. They can end up with third-round picks for Tyrann Mathieu and Kareem Jackson if they start and play well. Texans need to pull for those guys like crazy. And then they're going to get – if Christian Covington gets in a rotation for the Cowboys, then he's going to bring – they're going to get a plus three on the compensatory picks.
They're getting one for Kendall Lamb, too. They're getting one
He's canceled out
by Roby.
For Roby.
Right.
Okay.
So if you're a Texans fan, you're rooting for it to come out that Tyrann did not put out a hit on his cousin.
Even if he did, you want him to play and you want him to play well.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
What a bizarre
story
that was.
The Chiefs don't care.
Yeah.
Apparently not. Yeah, this fits right in with their MO. Jeez. It got crazy this week.
Yeah, no kidding. John, what about third running back? Foreman and Lamar Miller both look like they're in great shape right now. But what do you think? Is the third running back in camp right now one of these undrafted guys, or you think he's in somebody else's camp?
There's more than 100 free agents still out there.
Wow.
Waiting to be signed, usually around June 1st. Once they realize that they're not going to get a multi-year contract, they get $1 million or they get the minimum. But Karine Hignan from Michigan and the Demaria, is that his name, Crockett from Missouri?
From Missouri.
Hignan was much more productive at Michigan. He's smaller, he's quicker, he's faster. Crockett's about 225, had 709 yards and seven touchdowns. Higdon was in double figures, so you'd think he would have the inside track. Tywan Jones has been – he's 30 years old. Tywan Jones, a real good special teams player. Maybe he makes it. I don't think it's etched in stone. That third one has to be young. And Buddy Howell was on the team last year. He didn't get to play, but he was a really good special teams player.
Yeah.
So maybe Buddy Howell in his second season shows him enough to think, I could merit some catches. I thought for sure – they were going to use a low pick on a guy. Didn't matter if he could run as long as he could catch. Somebody they might could move to the slot or outside. They would. Last year, Lamar Miller had his fewest catches since his rookie year. Wasn't his fault. It's their fault because they had to keep him in the block. They would love for the pass protection to improve enough Remember when Lamar used to line up wide?
Yeah.
Sure,
he's
sure.
still a good receiver who just hadn't been able to do it. And then the most underrated thing about Deontay Foreman is his receiving ability. When he came here, he told us, I can catch. I just didn't get a chance
Even
to
though they
college.
Never threw to him in Texas.
And in that New England game, his rookie year, yeah. he took two short passes
yeah.
and made tremendous runs.
Yeah, yeah. The play he got hurt on, I think, was a pass and catch.
Scoring a touchdown. Yeah. And so that's another thing for all the Longhorns out there. They're really happy with where he is right now.
He looks good.
And I've not heard them say they're really happy with him since he drafted him.
Yes, that's probably
a fair
true.
Statement.
John, which starters right now do you think are in the most jeopardy of losing their job in these competitive situations?
Julion Davenport.
Okay.
And it's not Senio, it's Sunil Kelamete. I think Martinez Rankin might win that job. I think if Max Sharping moves to guard, maybe he beats out Zach Fulton, maybe he doesn't. I think Henderson is secure, although he's like a new guy. And
anybody outside the
O-line? Top three receivers. It could be any of the tight ends. Ryan yeah. Griffin's gone. Defensive line, all the line, front seven's back. Getting beat out. Unless Jahlil Adai were to take the job away from Tashawn Gibson. The new starter safety. They don't have a lot of positions open as starters.
Right.
It's all in looking for depth.
Yeah.
Is the ideal plan at corner to have J.J. and Lonnie Johnson start with Colvin in the slot?
No, they want Roby to start. They're paying
Roby, of course.
Yeah, they
My
want.
Bad.
It could be obviously that Lonnie Johnson, and he just looks great. 6'2", yeah. 213. He's fast. His head is spinning, as is Titus Howard's and Max Sharping. They're still basically clueless. They're, you know, off-season programs about mental stuff and learning to be a pro, learning how to get to the facility, what to eat, three meals a day, when to lift, when to talk to nutritionists, when to see the doctors, all that. And I think that I'm guessing that it's going to be, to start the season, it would be Roby and Jay Joe. And
Colvin.
Probably Colvin, but Lonnie Johnson is not going to be the fourth corner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Breon Body Calhoun would be the backup slot. Johnson, they could just throw him out there and say, okay, cover the guy that's on the boundary.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually he's going to be a starter because he's everything they want. Brian, I wrote about this. It's on Texas Sports Nation. Brian Gain and Bill O'Brien wanted to get bigger, stronger, bigger, faster, stronger, and longer. Wingspans, they've got good wingspans. You want guys to have long arms. And you talk about a guy that fills that bill, Lonnie Johnson.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.